Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And an angel came to Joseph, who would be Mary's husband, and said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wow, can you imagine an angel coming to both Mary and to Joseph with this very special message? This is a divine and supernatural story. Can you imagine what it must be like hearing from an angel? It must be frightening and exciting and scary all at the same time. Angels are messengers, special messengers of God, that have brought both Mary and Joseph a message regarding their child. And children, I don't know if you noticed, but both of the angels told Joseph and Mary what God wanted the baby's name to be. God told them through the angels that his name would be Jesus. Did you hear the angels say that? Now, is that usually how it works, children? Do angels usually name all the babies? No, they don't usually do that. I wasn't named by an angel. I might be an angel. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Usually parents name their children, don't they? Don't parents give names to their children? But this baby boy is not like any other baby boy. This baby is the Son of God. Hence, he was named by God the Father. And he was given the name Jesus. And this morning, I want us to learn, all of us, to reflect and learn two things about Jesus. Two things. Number one, who is Jesus? And number two, what did Jesus come to do? And I believe we find the answers to that in Matthew chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to begin in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So two things I want us to understand from this text. Who is Jesus, and what has he come to do? First, let's ask who he is. Names are incredible things. Parents give their children names as a blessing, or as an aspiration. Aspiration is what they hope they will live and be and do and who they will become. And Nikki and I did this with both our sons. We gave them names that were meaningful for us, that we meant to be blessings that they would grow up into. In Scripture, I think of Hannah, who prayed and prayed and prayed for a child. She was barren for years, and finally the Lord blessed her, and she named her son Samuel, which means God has heard. She gave a name that was a testimony to God's faithfulness. So sometimes names are aspirational, sometimes names are testimonial or representative of a parental desire. So names are special things. No one names themselves. We all receive our names. They are given to us. And there is a very special name given to Jesus. The name is Emmanuel, God with us. This name describes who he is, and it is an incredible name. Who is Jesus? Well, first and foremost, he is God. He is Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, and as such, he is the uncreated creator. Who is Jesus? He is God. And there is proof that Jesus is God because Jesus is able to do what no one else could do. Jesus is able to heal the sick. He's able to give sight to the blind. He's able to heal people from bleeding. He's even able to raise people from the dead. Many of you children remember the story of Jesus on the boat with his disciples. And Jesus is in the boat with a pillow and he's sleeping. And the storm comes up on the lake and the disciples are afraid. The wind and the waves, and they think they're going to sink and they think they're going to die. And they go and they wake Jesus up. Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? And what does Jesus do? He wakes up and he says to the wind and the waves, he rebukes them and he says, be still. And they are still. Who can do that? Only God. Only God can heal. Only God can raise from the dead. Only God can command the wind and the waves where the weather obeys him. I would have liked for a white Christmas, but I can't command the weather. But God can. So who is Jesus? Well, he is Emmanuel. First and foremost, he is God. He has power and authority over all things. And what we celebrate at Christmas is not just that Jesus is God, but that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us. In the birth of Jesus, God has come near to us. He has come near to us to know him. He invites us to know him. Emmanuel is more than a title. It's a declaration that God has entered our world. He has entered our realm, and we must reckon with him. And we have an invitation to come to him and to believe in his name. This is part of the miracle of Christmas. It's not just the incarnation. It is God coming near. It is God with us. God has come near. He's come near us in our pain. Some of us are in the midst of suffering. God has come near us in our suffering. He's come near us in our joy. He's come near us in our trials. And furthermore, he's experienced very similar things. Christ shares an empathy for all that we go through because he goes through it with us. And he has endured much. Are you lonely? Do you feel totally alienated? So did he. Have you been betrayed? So was he. Have you been misunderstood by those closest to you? So was he. Are you facing illness or even death? He faced death. You see, Jesus is not just God. He is God with us. Come near. He's endured much, and he knows what we have endured, and so he is full of compassion. He is the God come near. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And who is the us? Who is the us in Emmanuel, God with us? Well, the us is the ones he came to save. Sinners. And more specifically, the us is those who receive him. Those who call upon his name, who believe in him and confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord. That is the us. So Christ receives a special name that tells us exactly who he is. Emmanuel, God with us. And let's also ask from this text, what did Jesus come to do? Why did he come to earth? Why the incarnation? Well, the angel tells us as well in verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Did you know, children, did you know that we need to be saved from our sins? There's nothing we can do to save ourselves from sin. Sin is disobedience to God. Sin is breaking God's law. Sin is putting yourself first and being primarily concerned with yourself and not God and his glory. And so all our sin is first and foremost against God. Even when we sin against another person, we first break the law of God and sin against him, and we can sin against the other person. This sin began with Adam and Eve. It began when they chose to disobey God. That's when sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, it brought in awful consequences. Children, have you ever had an awful consequence? I've had an awful consequence. Sin brings painful, awful consequences. When sin entered the world, it brought fear into the world. When sin entered the world, it brought sickness and illness. When fear enters the world, it brings calamities such as accidents, forgetfulness, disease, greed, and death. And sadly, every generation since Adam and Eve, every single person on the earth has been corrupted by this original sin. We all come from one family. We are all descendants of Adam, and so hence we all inherit a sinful nature, corrupt and rebellious. Some of us, all of us, inherit specific traits from our biological parents. You might have blue eyes like your parents. You might have blonde hair like your parents. And unfortunately, we inherit something awful from our way, way, way back grandfather, Adam. We inherit a sinful nature, a desire in our hearts and minds that desires to disobey God, to go our own way, to go astray. And so we are in bad shape. Who will save us from this awful curse? Who will intervene? What can we do? We cannot save ourselves. Who will interject? This angel sent to Joseph tells us, Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We could not do so ourselves. And the fact that we cannot save ourselves implies that our sin and our guilt is profound and serious and complicated, and that a Savior from the outside must come. If we sin against God, only God can forgive sins against God. That is why God came into the world in the person of Jesus. That is why Jesus, speaking of himself, said, "The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And Christ has come to save sinners. So this is the joyful proclamation of the angel. Jesus will save his people from their sins. Jesus, conceived of the Holy Spirit, does not inherit the sinful nature from Adam. The sinful nature that's been passed down from every generation until today, Jesus does not receive. Through Adam comes death, but through Jesus, born of a virgin, through this magnificent God-man Christ, comes the free gift of salvation. Comes freedom, comes deliverance, comes righteousness. Jesus is our second Adam, our new covenantal head through whom redemption comes. This leads Paul in Romans 5 to exclaim, "For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." Christ has come to make sinners righteous, to redeem and to save. Now you might wonder, how? How does Christ do this? How does Jesus save us? By paying the penalty of our sin. By perfectly fulfilling the law that we failed to obey. The penalty for sin is death, and Christ saves us from our sin by paying this awful penalty on our behalf, and Christ saves us by dying for us. He has laid down his life, this perfect God-man, Christ, for a way to atone for sin and reconcile us to God. Christmas, from the very beginning, points forward to something even more incredible, the redemption of all God's children. Christmas points forward to Easter. It points forward to Christ's sacrificial death and triumphant resurrection over sin and death. So who is Jesus? He is God, Emmanuel, God with us. What does he come to do? To save sinners. And he does that by dying for them. So in Christ, as we celebrate Jesus this morning, as we sing him praise, as we eat celebratory meals, as we gather with family, we remember Christ, this mighty, anointed Savior, Jesus the Lord. The coming of Christ is the greatest revelation of the glory of God. the greatest revelation of the glory of God ever, and he brings salvation with him. He comes to save sinners. And I hope that in the midst of all our eating and drinking and singing and gathering and traveling, I hope that we glorify God in our hearts as we do so. And to glorify God in our hearts, we have to be dazzled by him. We have to be overcome by his wisdom and his goodness and his mercy and his grace and his sacrifice. For something to be glorious, it has to be so excellent that it staggers our mind. It has to be so magnificent that we can't take it all in. You know, when we look at the sun or maybe a starry night, we say, oh, it's glorious. And what we're saying is it's too much. I can't look at it. It's too much to even comprehend or to bring in. It overwhelms the senses. It dazzles us. We can't take it all in. And if we're going to glorify Christ in our hearts, he must be glorious to us. And we must, if we're going to behold him as glorious, think about who he is and what he has done. And indeed, in some senses, it is too much to even comprehend. It is dazzling and glorious and overwhelming. So as you eat and you drink and you sing and you celebrate, be dazzled by the glorious Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Think on him, who he is, and what he's come to do. We're going to spend a brief moment to reflect, to pause for a moment and think on him, and to let the truth of who he is and what he's come to do sink into our hearts. Children, we have this time in service every week where we call it reflection, and it's a time to pause and to sit quietly and think about the Lord, think about his word, and to think about the Lord, and to pray. And so, children, we invite you, as you sit there, to think on the Lord, to think on Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and to pray, to worship him, to adore him in your hearts, and to listen that he might illuminate our minds and hearts. We're going to do this for just about 1 minute, and then we'll pray and we'll continue to sing. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we rejoice in your great plan of salvation. Indeed, from before the foundation of the world, you planned to reveal yourself through the person of Christ and to redeem sinners. We rejoice in the salvation secured for us by Jesus. We rejoice that he took on flesh, fullness of God, and helpless babe. He took on flesh. He has drawn near to us in our grief and our sorrows. He has suffered, bled, and died for us. And we thank you for his triumphant resurrection. What a joy it is for us, with thousands of other churches and millions of believers around the world, to celebrate this day. To celebrate together in spirit and to celebrate here locally with our church family. What a joy. Father, we pray that we would be captivated by you, that we would not be captivated by gifts or presents or any tradition, but that we would be captivated by you. Stir in our hearts our affections for you. Increase our love and joy for you. And keep us steadfast in the gospel, remembering that you have come to redeem us. We thank you, Christ, for all that you are, and we remember you and glorify you with all of the elements of the rest of our service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.